SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two at the races on this Tuesday after Labor Day weekend, the summer season coming to an end. Del Mar, Ellis, and at Saratoga. And really, the Saratoga season, we found ourselves, right, so many times recapping and discussing winners that came into town, and whether it was from Philadelphia or from Maryland or from Finger Lakes and so forth. Woodbine, you had a couple of Invader winners. There might not have been a better and more fitting way to end that storyline than with Greg Sacco coming to town with the Brunetti's Mind Control, a homebred out of a mare that Greg trained for the Brunetti's and won the Blue Sparkler, made her a stakes-winning mare. And that was about as happy a winner's circle as you're ever going to see. And a beaming Greg Sacco's first Grade 1 win. Greg, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You got the permagrin here 24 hours later?
Yeah, no, it's still settling in. It was, you know, it's an accomplishment for any trainer, you know, to participate in a Grade 1 race. And, you know, you dream about it, and you hope one day it becomes a reality. And, you know, all trainers across, you know, the board, you know, all of our aspirations and goals, and, you know, that's, you know, one of them when you set out to be a trainer. And when you accomplish it, you know, it's a dream come true.
We'll get to the race. I want to talk about the development of this colt. Stay Thirsty, I mentioned the dam, Feel That Fire, who herself a bit of an obscurity, being by Lightning and Thunder. Take us back to her, because she's the origin story.
Well, she's a beautiful mare, and they still have her. She was talented from day one, had some issues with her ankles, chipped an ankle early on at two, before I got her, and we had her at three, had a couple setbacks, and we got her going. She had a limited career, but she, you know, was super talented from day one. Won a stake with her at Monmouth. She ran well in most of all her races in her short career, and stood in the Sunshine Man's with her. She had a couple horses to date that, you know, weren't as, you know, as precocious or special as Mind Control, just a couple average falls to begin with. But we always thought she could be, you know, something that, you know, with the right cross could really produce a nice horse. She, you know, she had all the tools, even with a short-lived career. It was just really, really, you know, nice to train my first Grade 1 winner out of a mare that I trained, you know, special, and of course for Mr. Brunetti and his family.
Well, and all your graded stake wins have come for the Brunettis.
Yes, yes. You know, I'm not a private trainer, but I was fortunate enough, you know, very early in my career to start training for Mr. Brunetti. You know, I trained, you know, mainly for him. He's been my bulk of my support over the years. And, you know, unfortunately, Mr. Brunetti passed away this year in March. So, you know, it was the only thing missing yesterday, you know, was him being there with us, because he was, you know, like a father figure to me, and, you know, an ambassador of the game, owner of Rally, and did so much for racing and people. And, you know, he's a great man. You know, so it was his son was there, Steve, carrying on the torch. And he said the only thing we're missing yesterday was the boss. And, you know, I'm sure he was watching down on us and proud of all the accomplishments yesterday.
Yeah, it's been a very good year for the racing program, because Unbridled Mo, I was out at Oaklawn when she won the Apple Blossom.
Yes, yeah, you know, Todd did a great job with her, and the two great ones for two homebreds this year. You know, Steve's done a great job with the breeding program, and that's been his forte, and he's, you know, really involved in the racing. And my brother Rick, who works for John and Steve, has been with them 25 years, and he does all the bloodstocking with them and manages the stable. And so, you know, it's a collective team effort, and my brother being involved. So, you know, it's special for all of us. We've all known each other since we were kids, and a lot of people think my dad trained for Mr. Brunetti, but he didn't. They were just very friendly. But, you know, about 25 years ago, Mr. Brunetti came to me asking to train some horses, and I was very fortunate the day he did.
Well, it's really one of those kinds of stories that, particularly when it comes to New Jersey, there's a lot of that, it seems. You know, and Monmouth itself, of course, is a family, old school kind of a racetrack too. When you think about Amory Haskell, and of course the daughters carrying things on to this day, Hope Jones and Isabel De Tomaso, and the Islands, and it's so unique. And I always stress this, Greg, when I go down, whether it's for Haskell or I was down for the opening of the sports book. It's one of those places where, you know, there's a special continuity, even down to the employees, where there's been generations of families that have worked at the racetrack.
No, you're so right. The Monmouth is rich in tradition, and a lot of families and linked to New Jersey and the racing. And 100% right. There's people working at the track that have been there since I was a little kid, and they're still there. So it's rich in tradition and with families. And it's nice that, you know, the sons and daughters are carrying on, because, you know, in every case that's not the case, you know, that where they just, you know, it's not for them, or, you know, they abolish the stable, and you know, that's something that is, you know, for me is very sad. You know, like a W.T. Young, I would love to see his color still flying, and other, you know, traditional outfits that, you know, the kids, it's not for everybody racing, but it's nice to see that, you know, there is a handful of people that still carry it on, and it's only, you know, helps the industry to see that family tradition still thriving. And it's big in New Jersey, like you said. It is very big and meaningful.
You mentioned your brother. You mentioned your father. I mean, there's a half a dozen Sackos that fill out the.
if anybody does a stats search,
right? How many different relatives?
Well, my dad is. We're actually the oldest racing family at Monmouth. We've been training here since '46. My dad started after World War II. My uncle Vincent trained. My Uncle Sam, my Uncle Johnny was a jock, and then was my dad's assistant, had his second string in New England. My dad was leading trainer at Monmouth in 63. And, you know, he just trained for Jersey people. You know, I think if my dad had made the jump to New York years ago, you know, he trained for Jersey breeders, and he'd go to Florida every winter and come back. And he actually won more New Jersey fraternities than anybody to this day. He won about 15 of them, but he just concentrated on his Jersey people, and he winter in Florida and come back with fresh horses. A little bit of a homebody like myself. And I love New York, and New Jersey is home, and it's always special when the horse merits going to New York, and they show up. And you know, I haven't had many starters that can ever go there. But, you know, you only go there when, you know, merit, you know, you have a good one or something you think has a real shot. And then we're in full swing in August here at Monmouth, so it's a crucial time of the year at Monmouth Park too. But when any chance you can get to go to Saratoga, it's special, and it's very rewarding sometimes.
He really fit, and you know, it just so happened that there were the major players like Mucho in terms of Morning Line and Dreammaker that had been pointed for this, really the same way that Kenny McPeak had pointed his filly for the Spinaway, and Sambaya that had won the Sanford, and even Nitrous, who had won well at the beginning of the meet. But from a fig standpoint, said yesterday, you know, anybody that was looking at something like Thoroughgraph, he was a fit. I mean, he was as fast as anybody except for Mucho.
No, we thought so too, going in. We could have stayed home and run in the Sapling, which is, Mammoth's traditional premier race for two-year-olds. And it was a race that, you know, would have been nice to win. But on a figure standpoint and the accomplishments in the two races, I mean, we went down to Delaware and we caught Call Paul down there. And, you know, we weren't like 100% ready to run that day, but we thought, you know, going to Delaware, maybe we'd have an easy maiden win. And, you know, we caught a horse that came back and won the Saratoga Special. So that flattered that race. But then the way we broke our maiden and galloped out was, you know, visually impressive and time-wise. And then it was important that how we came out of the race. He came out terrific. He had a super work last week here at Monmouth, galloped out great, and came out of that work great. So all systems pointed for us to go to New York. And, you know, we knew how impressive Mucho was and Nitrous, you know, coming off a big score. And it looked like Mark Cassie is pointing for this race, you know, since he broke his maiden in June. And, you know, two-year-olds make leaps forward. But we, you know, our horse didn't figure to be, like, precocious. You know, he also had the rating here if we wanted that yesterday. We basically left it up to Johnny, and he's the master. So, like we said, we could have stayed home, but we felt it was the right timing. And, you know, fortunately for us, everything worked out great.
You mentioned Johnny, and I'm curious. Have you won with Johnny? You won many races with Johnny over the years?
Here's something. You know, they have stats, and sometimes they're a little misleading. I was 0 for 25 at Saratoga for 98. That's like averaging almost a start a year. I was up DQ'd there one time, and I had like a 10-hour ride home in New Jersey with the worst thing forever, and it's with Jerry Bailey. I don't think he was DQ'd in 10 years. And we were DQ'd. And I was second in a stake there with him and second with Freud's Honor. I think the last time Johnny rode a horse for me in Saratoga, we were second with Freud's Honor in New York for at stake. So we had some very good races in Saratoga without winning, with the exception of the one DQ. But the first time I had ridden Johnny was at Hialeah. He came in to ride the Hialeah Turf Club. He got a hold of Angel, and I said, Angel, we have a horse running for Mr. Brunetti in Miami Beach Stakes. I'm willing to cope. He said, put me on. I love Mr. Brunetti. Put me on, Greg. So we put him. So the first horse Johnny ever had ridden for me was willing to cope, and he won a stake. Subsequently, we hadn't won a race in 19 starts, but a lot of them had finished close seconds or thirds or whatnot, and even in stakes. And, you know, we don't go to New York that often, and Johnny isn't available that often. He rides for such high-profile guys. It just don't happen. He was available, and, you know, we couldn't have been any happier to have Johnny. Anytime you have Johnny, you know, he's the best of the best and the ultimate pro, and, you know, you barely have to give him instructions. I just told him that he was talented and he had years, you know, he wasn't like he was a speed-happy horse. He was great. He's very, very smart. That's one of his biggest attributes besides being talented. He's very smart. He acts like an older horse. Very, very collected horse and no wasted energy.
20 years between that win, willing to cope, the Miami Beach Stakes, April 18th, 1998.
Was that it? I didn't even know. That was it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. 20 years.
it was worth the wait.
I love it. And willing to cope wins off. He won, but he was like fourth choice that day, actually, and won well.
He was a nice hard-hitting horse for us, another home bred. So, and he was in Hialeah, and was, you know, of course, any win there was always meaningful and special for us and Mr. Brunetti, but. Like I said, you know, so like, you know, I've only ridden Johnny 20 times and over the years, but you know, we were close in a lot of races, and we were tickled to death that Johnny was available for us yesterday.
Well, now you're in a position with a horse, and being by state thirsty, you're going to look forward to getting to two turns. What kind of intermediate step do you take with him in terms of, and how quickly do you need to make even a decision? You can also just kind of let some air out. He ran three times since July 5th. So what's the game plan trying to get to Kentucky?
Well, you know, I'll sit down with Steve Brunetti, my brother Rick, and Mr. Kuhnman, who just, you know, bought a third after his maiden win, and Nick Celesto, who and, you know, we'll come up with a game plan. We'll see for this. I think, you know, naturally, he'll get the two turns, and, you know, we'll train him a little differently moving forward. But the champagne is on the radar, and there's some other things, but nothing immediate. I don't think there's any big rush, you know, if we want to make the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You know, I'm not sure if that's the path we'll take or sit back and relax and you know, and maybe a start before the end of the year, and then, you know, get him into a three-year-old season. I'll let him dictate where we go, but, you know, the ultimate decision will be made, you know, with Steve and my brother and Mr. Coom, and, you know, just what path we want to take. But we'll kind of let the horse guide us, and I think that will be the best way. But naturally, I think he'll get the two turns. Not a big horse. Just got a beautiful stride, beautiful head, you know, well-made, you know, and came out this morning. I came back to Monmouth last night, so we had a full morning here at the barn. But my brother Rick was at the barn this morning and had to walk him with a lip shank. You know, just, he was full of himself. So, you know, he's just a special horse, and very happy to have him in the barn.
You know, you mentioned one thing that I thought to bring in, and that is he didn't have to have the lead either. And give a bit of a you know, take them around kind of a read to the way things unfolded, because it was notable that Ricardo Santana Jr. on nitrous, he more or less ceded the lead to Johnny.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think they were probably trying to not rate, but you know, go as easy as they could to try to get the 7/8 in. I think he broke his maiden going 5.5, and yeah, I think it was most horses going 7/8 for the first time. But I think he, you know, they went. I think Johnny said that he was comfortable where he was. We told him that if Nitros was gunning, you know, to just sit chilly and, you know, play the cards that were dealt. And I think Johnny, you know, was comfortable there. He said he had given him a little breather down the backside. And then, you know, it kept his mind on his business at the 3/8 pole and then dug in. But he has a tendency, even in his works, when he was in front to wait on horses. And even when he spurted away the last 16th, he kind of waited on him again. And Mucho was surging at the end, but I think he was also waiting a little bit. Because then he galloped out, you know, in front again. So he had a lot in the tank yesterday. You know, it was an all-out effort. And it was, a darn good horse race. But I think that he's still learning and was waiting a little bit even there at the very end. But, that's when you leave things up to a rider like John. You know, he was comfortable being in there. Maybe another guy would have let Nitrous go. And, you know, John just made that split-second decision to take it to him. And I think Santana rode a smart race. You know, he sat there and he asked his horse. And, you know, watching the race unfold, Mucho had the perfect trip. He's sitting behind two dueling horses. And even, you know, even at slow pace, when two dueling horses are there, they're there, and they're fighting it out. And he had a dream trip, and I thought he ran a great race. And certainly, you know, nothing to be ashamed about. He ran super. I think, you know, he's going to move forward off that race also with a colt with a real bright future.
Well, the future for Mind Control feels like the Champagne makes a lot of sense, and a trip to Churchill Downs as well for Breeders' Cup. And Greg could not be more excited for you and your family and everybody involved in the barn. That was a really perfect end to the stakes season at Saratoga, to see people just, you know, so tickled to, you know, to win a race like the Hopeful, and continued success. Keep him happy, healthy, and look forward to, you know, where this story goes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It means a lot to us. It was a great day, and it was great to be a part of it. And of course, you know, winning it was a dream come true. So we couldn't be any happier on our end.
Well, Greg Sacco's been winning races. Whatever the stats said, they weren't. You got to look beyond those. He's been winning races, as you can tell, going back 20 years to a stake win at Hialeah with Johnny. But a long, successful career, and one of the best known and one of the oldest families in New Jersey on the scene, and really racetrackers. The way they ought to be, and just a pleasure to congratulate Greg and the team on the Hopeful win yesterday. Christophe Clément is going to join us next. Christophe had a not a slow start. He didn't really run a lot of horses early at the meet, and then you could tell that he was poised and his horses were primed. And when you're an outfit like Christophe Clément and there's races coming off the turf by the hatful, it's not an easy thing. That can throw off an outfit. That's one of the things actually that is super, even more impressive about the Chad Brown accomplishment this summer is, you know, considering how many turfy type horses, and that includes the maidens that, you know, he had to make adjustments and go ahead and either run or try to wait. We, as handicappers and horse players, we complain about how much tougher it is under those circumstances. Try being a trainer and pointing for a race. And, you know, we think of stakes being the races to point. Well, every race is a race that's being pointed for. 25 non-twos. Like us, actually, with Carlisle Bell. We waited and waited and waited and waited. And, you know, really you know, 7 furlongs wasn't really even the thing we wanted. You at a certain point, you run. So for Christophe Clement, made the most of the opportunities. And then out of town, the Kentucky Downs opening day card, missed technicality, the juvenile fillies, and then yesterday in Philly, a third straight turf monster for the Generazios. Unbelievable. Pure sensation. Christophe Clement joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
One look.
Back at the races, Christophe Clement is going to join us here momentarily off of a really fun conversation. I hope you enjoyed with Greg Sacco and Mind Control. Mucho, three quarters of a length back. The Fig came back an 84 in here. Nitrous ended up third. Sombaye, Dreammaker. And actually, looking at the chart, you know, this on paper, it's funny. It looked like there would be more pace, and that's what was so heads up about about Johnny V's ride, the way in which he gauged what was going on, because the opening quarter was 22-4. Then they had a quick enough second quarter too. They came back and went 22-4 again, and then 110 for three quarters. I mean, this was the fig didn't come back that big, but it was an honestly run race, certainly. So mind control and the last stake of the season. You know, one of the stakes from the weekend we haven't talked about yet is the Saranac, and Christoph almost stole that too with up the ante. Meanwhile, yesterday in Philadelphia, the win by the amazing Pure Sensation out at Saturday, Kentucky Downs. Miss Technicality wins the Juvenile Fillies, and at Saratoga, a very steady parade of winners through the, particularly the second half, once the weather moderated. Christoph Clement joins us. Chris, congratulations on really a good summer overall.
Well, thanks a lot. It was, you know what, a very good Belmont meet, summer meet. A bit slow Saratoga to start with, bad weather, plus we won so many horses at Belmont. But then I've been very happy lately. They're also running well. They're back to form. And the weather seems to be cooperating, so we're lucky.
Let's maybe work, maybe we'll work backwards from yesterday. Let's go out of town, first of all. And I don't even know what to say anymore about Pat and Frank Generazio, their program, and these absolute just terror everywhere you send them. Pure Sensation wins his third straight turf monster down at Parks.
Yeah, no, he's a nice horse, obviously. You know, great credit to Mr. and Mrs. Generazio. He's always been a fun, you know, nice horse. He was a nice 2 years old. He's been able to last. He's seven now. Just when he, we always have to keep an eye on his feet, but when he's right, he's top class. And I'm delighted to win the race again. It was a nice purse, and Mr. and Mrs. Generazio are very happy. So he's happy. We're doing well.
One thing that I hadn't even realized until this morning, until I went and looked at the chart, and then back at his PPs. He's only run three times coming in here, and he hadn't won yet. You know, he'd been second and third twice, and of course, Disco Partner, beats him. So when that happens, you don't complain.
Well, he's been running well. He ran first time out, second at Goldstream, which was a nice race. Came back in the Jaipur, ran a very good race. And then he ran below form last time at Parks. He was very sore, and we tried to make the race, and we did the race. He came out of the race very sore on his feet. We stopped on him, and I only started breathing him 10 days ago, 12 days ago. We just did like two easy breathes, 2-3-8. First one was a sharp 3-8, second one a slow 3-8. And then he just ran at Parks, and we just got lucky. And the great thing with good horses is they overcome that. As long as you keep them sound and well and feeling good, they overcome everything else. You know?
Christoph, give people some insight about a hoof when there's problematic feet, and sometimes
he's got wide feet and he gets sore, he gets bruised very easily, and he had that all his life. So you got to protect him, and we train him with bar shoes. I'm very lucky to have two blacksmiths who do an amazing job on him, and you've got to really really protect him. And if you don't, then you could train him for a while, but after like 2 or 3 weeks, he would become very sore. And also, with sore feet, would be like somebody walking and running with shoes which are like two sizes smaller than what they should be. And it's impossible. You know, you can't run with sore feet, and the same applies to horses.
So it's more the size as opposed to
the texture of his feet. He's got the texture of his feet. He's got white feet, and the texture of his feet is very white, which means that he will have a tendency to get bruised or any kind of problem to his feet much easier than a normal horse. You just have to keep an eye on that. When we train at Belmont's got a very peculiar dirt where it's like sandpaper. So when you train here every day in and day out, it's like applying like some sandpaper on horses' feet, and a lot of horses get sore here unless you try to be ahead of the game and you protect them before it happens. Every track is different. The more dirt, the more sandy the track is, usually the worse it is for feet. The deeper the track, the more earthy type of thing, the better it is for the feet. Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this, and we've had some conversations with Dr. Alday about feet, and we've had farriers on. Is that because the frog is just so big and there's so much surface area?
No, I don't think it's coming from the frog itself or from his conformation. Just some ulcers just get some food that are stronger than some others. I think the track has a lot to do with it. You know, you get away with some tracks more than some other one. Some of the ulcers, especially the grass one, but not pure sensation, but some of the turf ulcers will have a tendency to have a very flat foot versus a clubby foot, like some of the dirt ulcers.
Sure.
And the flatter the foot is, obviously the closer the sole will be to the ground, the more prone you are to bruise and to foot issue.
And this of course gets into shoeing in general, and the farrier and the farrier having to adjust to the angle of the pastern, and you know the way
right.
a horse.
And then you've got two way of thinking, which is either shoe according to what you've got in front of you, or when you come to New York, which we try to do in my barn, you try to shoe and try to think ahead and protect them, because a lot of horses will get sore, so we just try to protect them before they get sore in order to have a longer career.
Well, a 7-year-old now, and Pure Sensations' career continues along. And is he Breeders' Cup? You know, in terms of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
I don't know. I don't. Let's see. If he comes out of it. He could run back in that October race. You know, at Belmont Park, called the the prep for the Breeders' Cup. So that would be the plan at the moment. And then we can think about the Breeders' Cup afterwards.
Very good. In the meantime, his 10th win, and he's approaching $1.5 million. Actually, he is over $1.5 million now in earnings. Pure Sensation, part of this incredible run that the Generazios are enjoying. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about it because he's 7. I think Disco Partner is 6, and they're 2 very, very, very good sprinters, top class. And, I just need to find the next one. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, well, leave it to Frank and Pat. Considering, although Disco Rico's gone, that's the most amazing thing, Chris, is that they've done this with what feels like I don't want to say second tier, but not headline stallions and broodmares.
Yeah, no, I agree. The main thing is that's why the program is so good, and then you just wonder when you see that. If actually the quality of the broodmare is not more important than the quality of the sire. You know, I mean, just have to wonder that, I will say it's 75-25 or 80-20 when you see how successful they've been. Obviously, they've got great mares, and their mares have been producing good horses with very different kind of sires, you know.
Well, it's one of our favorite stories from the last several years, the Generazios and the success that they're having. Let's turn our attention to a number of other wins and the end of the Saratoga season. Let's talk about Kentucky Downs and the opening of their 5-day session here over 17 days or so. And you sent Miss Technicality out. Got to be a filly that's close to your heart, being by Gio Ponti. And Julian Leperoux, terrific ride on her to win the Juvenile Fillies out there.
Absolutely. So she came to us like in the spring, I think in late March. She was raised by somebody with a bloodstock agent called John McCormack that owns the filly in partnership with one of his clients, which is based under the name of Nem Cook Stable.
Sure.
And before she came to us, John was very high on the fillies, always liked the fillies since she's born, and he thought she had a lot of class, and he was right, which just shows how good he is. Trained very well in the spring. She ran once at Belmont. She won impressively at Belmont, going, I think, 6 furlongs with Rosario. And then it took her a while to train well after that. She was a little bit too high mentally after the first race. We gave her plenty of time. The choice was to run either in the Miss Grillo, in the P.G. Johnson, or to the race at Kentucky Downs. Because of the purse, we went to Kentucky Downs. And we're lucky because it worked out, and I thought she was very impressive.
She dominated, and I mean, she just ran away from this group. And what was nice is you get a real taste for horses from around the country at a race like this. Everybody, you know, kind of assembled. You had horses coming out of Ellis and Presque Isle and Indiana and Laurel and Arlington, and she wins off by a half a dozen lengths.
And she is nice. I mean, we always thought she was one of the best dual filly in the barn, and it's exciting. We never trained for Nem Cook Stable before, so it's nice when things are working out for a new owner. And the plan will be to probably have a good look at Denise Grillo at Belmont, which is at the end of the last weekend in September. And obviously, you got in the back of your mind the Breeders' Cup if she was good enough. Yeah.
Christoph, for horses, do you think about a certain kind of a horse to send out there, you know, particularly the two-year-olds that are going to be on the European-style course, the undulating up and down, and then, of course, up a hill for the straight? Is there a certain kind of horse?
No, I think as long as you have a sound horse and he trains okay, all of mine that I've sent there have been able to handle it very easily. So I think it's completely overrated. I don't think... I don't think the up and down and the left to right, I don't think it's any problem.
Interesting. And Miss Technicality, being by Gio Ponti, that's got to be fun.
It is absolutely fun. It's a fun race, too. I think we won the race with Lalu a couple of years ago. We finished second last year with best performance. This filly, Miss Technicality, won it this year. And yeah, it's a lot of money. We don't race for that much money anywhere else in the country at the time of the year, so it's nice. And... let's try to do it again.
Well, and for Gio Ponti, you know, as a stallion, how many have you had?
I didn't have that many. I got a few from Castleton Lion. I've got a nice New York bred horse called Gucci Factor, who's been a nice horse. But I did not have that many. And I've got a 2-year-old filly and race for the Generazio that I like, with a sister to Discreet Mark, with a very good filly for the Generazio. Called Market Legacy, so she'll be the next one to keep an eye on.
How much is he? Do you see him in these babies and in the Gio Ponti's that you're getting?
He does not stem them. I got them he was a very good looking bay colt with plenty of size, and I got some small one, I got some chestnuts, some gray, big, tall, small. So the stallion himself does not stem them. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but we've got them all different sorts. But it's a funny deal. You know, the best horse he's produced so far is a Dr. Fong with a sprinter with Bob Baffert. He had a Canadian Triple Crown, Canadian Classic winner with a horse of Mike Maker, who belonged to Mr. Ramsey. He had some success. So it's a very different kind of success, you know.
Well, let's swing things around to Saratoga. And one winner that we didn't get a chance to talk about after the New York day, and that was Seafoam, who won the Albany. And that's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. But here's a nice New York bred 3-year-old, and he's, you know, he's looks like a good horse.
And he's nice horse. It's fun. Belongs to Waterville, who's been supporting us for many years. It's a group of three people who are owner-breeder. They sell their colts, keep their fillies. They could not sell Seafoam. He had a vet issue before the sale. We kept him, so it's nice because it paid off. And we've been very successful with a small group of mares. I think we've been very successful for them. And I think he's a nice horse. I mean, he won impressively. He won at Finger Lakes before that. He won a stakes as a 2-year-old in New York. And he's turning out to be, let's keep him sound, because I think he's got a nice career ahead of him.
And you did try him. You gave him a shot in the Manila, but then you came right back to the dirt, and you take 2/3 of the Big Apple Triple Crown.
Correct. He can actually handle the turf. He's okay on turf, but he's better on dirt. And I had a question mark before the Albany if he will stay a mile and eight. But he proved me wrong, because he did stay a mile and eight, which is great. And, to have a nice start off, unfortunately, I don't have enough of them. He's probably my first nice colt, stake off, going long on dirt from Stone Alice. But, you know, whenever you are lucky enough to train one, they're fun. You know, you've got an amazing choice of races, and you've got great purses, and it's very exciting.
Well, speaking of that Manila, you won that anyway, even though Seafoam was fifth in the turf try, up the ante. And you beat Raging Bull that day. You try to come back, and he almost stole the Saranac on Saturday.
Yeah, unfortunately, he got beat by Raging Bull, who's a very nice role. But he got a great ride from Javier Castellano. He was on the lead, and I thought we had a chance at the quarter pole. Unfortunately, the other horse had finished us. But he's a nice horse. And a question mark after the race, if up the ante is really a mile and eight, might be more of a mile than a mile and eight. Not sure about that. I've got to think about it. But he's a very nice horse. Might not be the best 3-year-old, but he's a nice 3-year-old anyway.
You know, I not to take away from his effort, I was disappointed, Chris, with Therapist. I thought that he was the clever play in the Saranac.
Me too. So when you're in New York, you've got the trackers. They show the trackers on your screen when you go racing after the replay. According to the trackers, you went 60 feet wider than the winner. So that you've got to take that into consideration, because that did not happen to me many times. You know, I think it's 56 feet exactly. Anyway, obviously he had a terrible trip. And I'm not blaming the jockey, it's just the way it is. I think we were drawn wide, and the way the race was run. But that means that he went like 6 to 7 lengths wider than the winner. So if you move him up by 4 or 5 lengths, you wouldn't think that he went that bad after all. So you always have to be a little bit careful the way we judge races right away.
What's next? Talk about where you'll send those to.
Therapist, I don't know. I've got to think about it. I will talk to my owner, who is Dick Leahy, who's been very successful this year. You know, I'm not sure. We can go back in the New York Red Stakes against all the horses. We can keep him in straight, you know, against a straight 3 years old, and we'll have to choose that. And up the NT, it would be nice to go back. You got a great 3 at Churchill at the end of September. You got a stakes going a straight mile at Belmont at the end of October. You can have a look at the Hill Prince, which I think might be a little bit ambitious at the moment, especially knowing that apparently the travel winners might run in the Hill Prince. I would have preferred to avoid him if I could. You know, it's just, we're not used to that kind of thinking, but that's a new
no.
way. It's a new way of thinking at the moment. The turf are running on dirt, and the dirt are running on turf.
Exactly.
Between your Shida and the other horse, that's what's going on.
What is going on? Let me ask you about a couple of maiden winners, too, because...
And I have to tell you a story. Of,
yeah.
10, 15 years ago, I had a very good horse called Flag Down. And he ran once for the previous trainer very well on dirt. And when I had him, I ran him on grass. He was running very well. And I tried him in a fall in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, I think. I can't remember, but I think it was the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And he ran really, really badly for me in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and I was very disappointed. And Mr. Jerkins was always very nice to me. Spoke to me the next day, and he told me something which I always think about, which is, you know, you can fool them once, but it's very difficult to fool them twice. So I always keep that in the back of my mind.
I love it. Well, and that tells you a lot about Alan, too, that that he would, you know, the chief would go out and offer, you know, those kinds of suggestions. I remember Flag Down, who won a lot of races.
Yeah, he was a top-class mile and a quarter, mile and a half horse. Difficult, you know, very aggressive. Top-class, beautiful horse.
Chris, give us a little bit of a next step for Sliv Mish, who I thought went under the radar among the maiden winners. And, that was the race that Dog Tag came out of, actually, to win the P.G. Johnson. And I want you to tell everybody how difficult it was, you know, to adjust to the off-the-turf situations all through the middle part of the meet.
Yeah, but I mean, in this case, for once, we had a dirt filly. You know, we bought her. She was an expensive yearling, Bernardini. And she trained well. So I went in, like, main track only, knowing... For once, it worked out. Like, you know, the race came off the grass. And I've always thought she wanted to be like a two-turn filly in the future. She wanted the longer, the better. It turned out perfect. I mean, she was completely at pace even there. And from the quarter pole on, she just took off and she won easily. I gave her a break after that. I sent her, you know, we raised all these Waterville horses with Berkshire Stud in New York. So she went to Berkshire Stud the day after the race. And she's coming back actually next week just to give her a break, because I didn't have any races in mind right away. And we'll bring her back, and we'll find a spot for her sometime in October. Obviously, being a filly, we've got to try to think about black type, and we go from there.
Nice. And, you know, she's out of an unraced Smart Strike mare, so there is even some turf breeding, although Bernardini, you don't think to go in that direction.
No, I think we're better off to stick to the dirt at the moment. The longer,
well,
the better.
That was a win that is people are going to go back to. Sliv, Slieve, Mish, Mish, and I recommend people keep an eye. This is Waterville Lake, was bred by Stonehaven, and this was a performance that I haven't heard people talk much about, but she's got a lot of upside going forward. And this is what happens at Saratoga. How did you overall, Chris? How much did the weather hurt you and your plans in terms of pointing horses for specific spots?
Quite a lot, because unfortunately I've got mostly Grass Foncées. So, you know, early on in the meet, we lost probably 10, 12, 14 races in the mount. But it's no big deal. If you have patience, I'm lucky enough to have, my stable is big enough, so we always have some action. And if you are patient enough, the races always come back. And it's okay if they run over there, great. If they don't, they will run at Belmont, and that's fine.
How about Candy Store? Nice win for Speedway the other day.
Nice win for Speedway, but mostly, what an amazing ride from Joanne Rosario. Most jockeys would have given up at the quarter pole. He never gave up. The only instruction was, be careful, she's a little bit one pace, but the more you ask, the more you'll find. And he rode a beautiful race. He was on the lead, comfortable. He was beaten at the quarter pole. He was beaten at the 1/8, and he came back to win the race. And I thought it was a superb ride.
Well, and of course, that was the comeback race for Rimska, who was moving and engaged. You also had My Impression and Penjay. This, it's funny. Yeah, it's a serious group, Chris.
Rimska took the lead. Rimska came. She took the lead. Obviously, did not run for a long time. Maybe just got a bit tired at the end. I'm not sure. But it was a fun race to watch.
Well, and that that had Michael Pino was there with Dynatail and Weaver with Malibu Stacy. I mean, that was a stake race, basically.
Nice. So probably she will go in. Candy Store probably will be aimed to the stake race next time. Not sure exactly which one. Obviously, you'll have to think about the number themselves. But we don't have to. We are free to go wherever she can be the most competitive.
And I also want to ask you about Have At It, who came out of the Better Talk Now the other day.
Yeah, that's another one where I thought ran very well, very wide, but not yet again, I'm not at all blaming the jug, just had a wide draw. But he went like 40 or 50 feet wider than the winner. Very good race. He looked like the winner, and unfortunately the winner came on the inside and the last 8 to 16 of a mile. But he's a funny horse, because every time I gave him like some leading jugs, and they ride him like a horse coming from behind and leave him alone and make a strong kick, he runs terrible. And every time I give him to a jug, we ride him in an aggressive way, he runs very well. Flavien Prat won him at Belmont on the lead. And the other day, Luis Saez was, always stalking close to the pace. So obviously, we have to ride him that way. There's a race at Dueling Grounds called the Dueling Grounds Derby. I could have think about it. I think it's coming up this weekend, which is probably a little bit too quick. And otherwise, we look for another race in New York later on this month.
Well, and speaking of races coming up in New York and Kentucky Downs, too, you sent Vavina. Vavina's going to run this week, Thursday, in an allowance. And the stakes action starts on Friday in New York at Belmont. Factor of one in the Christie Cat.
Correct. So Vavina is okay. She's an improving three-year-old filly. Very one pace. While trying her man in 5/16, we'll see what happens in Kentucky Downs. She probably could become a mile and a quarter, mile and a half tough filly, but she's got to improve on what she has shown so far. And then on Friday, Saturday, we've got Factor of One. What I thought was a bit unlucky in Saratoga. We did not know her well enough. We tried to rate her, which is a mistake. We need to let her roll, and we will do that this coming Friday. Don't fight her. Just let her roll on the lead and see what happens. And then on Saturday, we entered Lull and White Flag in 2 stakes, both sprinting at Kentucky Downs, subject to weather.
Oh, very nice. I also want to ask you about Stormy Victoria, who's heading down to Philly for the Dr. Penny.
Correct, with Paco Lopez. She's been training well. I'm training her long again. She used to go long, then I thought some of her best form was being 6-7 furlongs, so we've been running her shorter. I just thought it's too much money and too big of a race not to try her long again. She looks well, and we've got a top-class rider, so we'll just try to cover up, wait, make one run, and see what happens.
Give us some insight into the maidens. You got three of them set up for Saturday at Belmont. Colton House and Matteo comes back from the Saratoga try. And then Bella, one, right?
Correct. Matteo is coming from an off-the-turf race where he finished third and went okay. He's running back on grass. I think he's been training better on the turf. He's a very good mover, and I rather like him. I think his works have been nice. The other one is Cotton House, which the other way around. Even once, did not show that much speed on dirt, and then even on turf, going 6 furlongs like before the Saratoga meet, ran flat, and he didn't run great. Never quit, but he stayed where he was, never finished his race. Since then, his works have been much better in the morning on dirt, so we just saw we'll go like long on the dirt, main track only in the same race. And the last one is a filly, was bought by a group of people in Europe from Ireland, called Bella Figura. She came to us through an agent called David Meir, and liked the way she trained. She looks well. She's a stayer, very one-paced, mile and a quarter, mile and a half. And I think she's done well since she came here, so it's time to start and see what happens.
Well, and you would think that given her style, that she would take to Belmont and the big, you know, the big turf course.
Yeah, I mean, she probably would be. I did not study the race yet, but I would have expected to be either on the pace or close to the pace, and then we'll go from there. And David is riding, I believe.
Well, you obviously, Chris, a very good summer, and you've got to expect that a lot of the horses that didn't either get to run or either missed their shots or came off the turf, that you've got a lot of bullets to fire here leading up into, you know, the fall turf season, wherever the races may be, Kentucky Downs and Keeneland coming up as well. Congratulations on just a variety of nice successes, and we'll look forward to quite a few more yet to come.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Christoph Clement, everybody, and really fun to kind of catch up. I haven't talked to Chris in too long, and you got a real panorama there of from 2 year olds, and you got a little flat fleet feet discussion about keeping horses' feet right, which that'll prompt that conversation is going to force me to bring it up with Dr. Allday, and we could bring in some veterinary podiatrist. That hasn't been an area of conversation for a long time, and it's always interesting. And as an extension of that conversation, I'm going to tell you this. When you go to claim a horse, one of the things that might put outfits off when you're thinking about a claim, and this is actually a fun topic in and of itself. Every horseman, every outfit has its own its own call it a internecine network of people, and if you get interested in claiming a horse, you put your feelers out. What have you heard? You know, somebody that maybe a friend of yours had the horse previously, you know, 6 months ago, or maybe even more recently, and you check with them. You ask your farrier, you ask a vet. There's, you've got your own network to see if maybe, you know, is there any holes? And they've all, you know, when it comes to the claiming side, there's always going to be an issue or two, because otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be in for tags. So one of the things that can put people off of a claim is hearing back that the horse in question has got bad feet. And bad feet, as Christoph talked about there, you know, kind of sore feet, that the abrasion, there's the abrasion issue, tender feet. There's, in this case, a big wide foot. And there's also thin hoof walls. The horses whose hoof, they can't take nails, so they have to use glue-on shoes. That, you know, that's a different kind of hoof issue. And that will put, a lot of times, you will pull up from dropping a slip. When that word comes back, you've got to worry about his feet and constant attention. Always an important topic. And this gets to the way in which horses can improve form or drop off from form from barn to barn. I know that per the internet, the first assumption is that, it's a move-up guy. Well, sometimes they're moving them up, folks, because they've got a better farrier, or they've got people in the barn who are, and a groom who's really good at taking care of a horse who's got tender feet. And and the betting is different, and somebody's got solutions that are that hooves respond to better, and whether it's home recipes or whether it's being willing to stand and hose down, maybe it's a horse that needs 3 hours in an ice bucket and having their legs bathed. That's how horses move up and down when they go from barn to barn. We'll take a time out here. We've got plenty to do. It includes a visit with Dick Powell and with John White and Bob Baffert. Hour 3 at the races, enjoying the post spa and Oceanside and Pea Patch, and we're going to make sure to go through the seasons of all three the next couple of days. If you had a great meet at any of them, at all of them, congratulations. If you struggled, if you didn't have the best meet, whatever threw you off, there's riches in them there hills. And that means that if you get through the charts and you comb for bet backs or bet against out of these three meets and so forth, you'll make, if you didn't make it this summer, you'll make it this fall. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.